Hey, what's up, you guys? David here with Bubba's Living Emporium, and today this is our first podcast, introductory podcast, and we just want to go over what's entail for the whole line of podcasts that we're going to be doing. We're going to talk about our business ventures. We're going to be interviewing multiple guests in upcoming podcasts, breeders, crazy people, the lunatic down the street. We're going to have everything here. That's why it's called Bubba's World Emporium. Instead of just Living Emporium, where I kind of go about my journey and entrepreneurship of breeding reptiles, it's going to be more just everything. We're going to talk about our lives and stuff that's going on. We're going to be interviewing all kinds of people and just getting down to the nit and gritty. We'll be helping out kind of the community with leopard geckos, geckos in general. Here at Bubba's Living Emporium, we have kind of like aquatic wholesale, as well as we have 8 species of geckos right now. We've bred bearded dragons, ball pythons, you name it. I used to run a YouTube channel back in the day, but we'll get into that kind of further on into the podcast. But thank you guys for coming over here, checking this out, and we'll just kind of go through what our plans are. And with me today, I have my co-host, and this is going to be pretty much my partner in the business. She helps me clean tubs, hold the geckos, give them all the good pets. This is, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Em.
That's short for Marianne, but 2019, we don't have time for all of that. Anything you want to say to the people?
Hi, people.
Yeah, hi, people. We're kind of both into pets. For me, it was started around Steve Irwin, the great Steve Irwin. I would grow up just watching his shows, and I was like, 100%, that's what I want to do. Like, I don't want to go to school. I just want to, like, be out in the field collecting, like, educating on animals and stuff like that. So from a young age, I think my first animal was a leopard gecko. And from a young age, I was just caught by keeping animals, like, exotic animals. Like, of course, everybody has a goldfish and stuff like that, but we're taking it up a notch for sure. What was your first pet, Em?
I think I had a hermit crab, or like 2 hermit crabs.
She had crabs, guys. So yeah, I mean, we both love pets, and that's what we want to do. When I first met Em, she was working at a vet clinic as a vet assistant, and I think at the time I was working at Vaughn's, and I've had a history of like just working since I was 14. I like doing my own stuff. I like working with my hands and working hard to allow myself to make money, pretty much, to afford all this exoticness that I have. Right now, I think we have over, I can't even put a number on it right now, but we have a lot of animals, and pretty soon here, we're going to be getting our own like facility, or I think first we're going to get like a whole room dedicated to everything. We need more space, so we're gonna have to find a new location, and hopefully we have an extra room for that, and we'll just toss it all in there. Em, she likes more of like ferrets, mammals, all the cuddly things. What do you think is gonna be your first buy once we get like our own place where we have like room available to actually go wild?
A ferret, for sure.
A ferret. We're in California, so don't rat us out. But, yeah, we're probably going to get, like, 2 ferrets, a couple hedgehogs, and that's kind of going to be her main, like, goal, like, focus. I mean, they're all going to be fun, but she just loves those. And we were thinking about getting a sphinx cat, but I think that's a little too much for right now. Yeah, we have a lot of racks, and I'm in the process of going through and building 3 more racks, 2 adult racks, and another like hatchling rack. And this is all racks for like geckos, stuff that can be actually housed in racks. And that's going to be mainly your nocturnal animals, stuff that burrows itself down in dens, stuff like that. But let's get more into us. What do you do as a living, M?
Well, right now I'm still working at a vet clinic.
And then you just got a new job. Congratulations, by the way. Do you want to tell them what that is?
Well, I haven't started yet, but it's at a chiropractic office. So, should be fun. I mean, haven't started yet, so I'm going to start my training soon. Stuff like that.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. It's more towards my area. If you're familiar with Southern California, I actually reside in Yorba Linda, and she's maybe about like an hour away if you drive like me, which is highly unrecommended, but an hour and a half for most people. And that's a little bit of ways, especially when we're trying to create this business venture that we really want to see and bring into fruition. What I do right now, I just started this job maybe 2 months, 2 to 3 months ago. And before that, I was working for Accurate Technology, which is an aerospace company. Basically, I was just a driver. It was good money, but I was having to work like 50 to 60 hours a week. That was just mentally draining, honestly. At this new place, I work in a little machine shop, and instead of being just a driver, I work on the machines. We hone these materials. It's a hone shop. And if you don't know what that is, basically all the holes, any hole pretty much, we want to get it into the right size so they fit together, these parts fit together and work. Last week I did about 200 airplane pedals, and that's just like a glimpse into what we do. A lot of it is aerospace related, so if you're flying through the air, know that you're in good hands. That's all state stands. And let's talk about what we would like for this to be, Bubba's Living Emporium. Personally, I don't want to work. Like, that's a hard thing to say, because like work is like doing like a living and stuff. Like, you don't want to work a day in your life. Like, you'd rather do something you're passionate about and have it not be so much like work. It's daunting. It's not really something you want to do, but you're stuck doing it because it puts money on in your bank account, food on the table, house over your heads. That's not what I want to do. I've never been that type of person. In high school, all school, I would get A's and B's, and then when it came to high school, I was just like, yeah, you know what, I'm not doing like any homework. I would get by. I think I had like a 3.5 GPA, just by getting A's and B's on tests and then doing like some homework towards the end of the semester to get my grades back up to get like a car or something from my parents. Neither of that worked out, but I graduated. I think I got like a 3.2 graduating from high school, and I was totally capable of getting like a 4.0 and above, but let's be honest, like, school is not for everybody. School is definitely not for me. I did 3 years at Cypress College on and off, and not for me. I figured I was better at being artistic, being an entrepreneur, and just working hard in certain areas to be able to start up something like this, to pursue my dreams. It's not the recommended route. It's not the instilled route that your parents try to force you down, but I'm thankful enough that my parents kind of just let me do me, as long as I'm like taking care of myself, providing for myself, and kind of just working to where I can allow myself to do that. And I know M doesn't want to be, she loves the vet office and like loves people, and like she's very kind. So like, what would you want to be doing, like, regardless of money? What would you like to do?
Honestly, like, I would just want to work in a zoo or like anything animal related. I mean, I feel like the only reason I'm working now is to save up so I can work with animals.
Yeah, to be able to do that.
Work from home and do something cool like that.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I was like, hell yeah, I'll be a zoologist. That'll be cool. But then I took a biology course in college, and I was like, no. Pass. But I've taught myself things over the years. I've kept animals since I was like 4 years old. I don't really count all that. But if I'm going to count the years where I was actually invested, constantly learning and breeding stuff, I would say I've owned reptiles for about 10 years. Reptiles, amphibians, inverts, and aquatics. That's like fish and stuff like that. For around 10 years. And I've been breeding for 7. But professionally breeding, that's so hard. That's a big word, professionalism. But I would say to where I know what's going to hatch out. I'm down to percentages. I'm good with my Punnett squares, the old classic Punnett squares. And I know the difference between recessive genes, codominant genes, heterozygous genes, stuff like that. It's just maybe about 3 years now to safely say. And now we're upping production. We went from just a couple to where we were kind of researching and getting stuff started to a, I don't know what, like a 500% increase in stock in about a time span of maybe 5-6 months. And now we're, our incubator is filling up. We have 8 species of geckos alone. And I work with a bunch of fish stores across the U.S. That kind of slowed down a little bit. But, it's just working towards our future. What I want to do is, California is really expensive. Our gas right now is like $5. That's exaggerating maybe about like 50 cents. But in L.A., downtown L.A., it's insane. Apartments in my area for a one bedroom, one bath, and maybe 700 square feet is going to be $1,400 to $1,500. And to me, that's kind of ridiculous. I lived in California. I was born and raised here. I've lived all over Southern California and even like by the beach, up in the mountains, just kind of everywhere. But there was a time period from when I was 10 to about 13 where I moved over to Illinois and I lived in Illinois. And oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. And just everybody over there is so down to earth. And land and housing there is so cheap compared to over here. So one day, hopefully here in the future, we'll be moving out of state again. We've been looking at a couple states. I really can't stand the heat. I hate sweating, but Em here, she doesn't like being...
I hate the cold.
Yeah, she doesn't like the cold. And I can be in snow and shorts. It's no big deal for me. But yeah, we're looking at like Idaho, maybe Arizona, a couple different spots. And we just want to have like a little farm. Like buy a bunch of land, honestly. I'm good with my hands, so like... Ooh, I'm good with my hands, so construction comes easy. Putting stuff together, being like a little MacGyver, it's second nature to me. And I think Em can testify to that, where I just have all these kind of little projects going on. Let's talk about what our immediate goals are. What would you like to see from us this year or by the end of this year?
Savings. A savings account for us to move out.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're working on right now. We kind of cut it off. We have one more shipment coming in, and this is housing, I think, 3 different species of gecko. And right then, we should be pretty maxed out on our breeding operations and be good to start vending towards the end of the year. But right now, we're really trying to save up, get rid of all of our debt right before we find a location and move into this spot and just take production to a whole nother level. So that's what we're trying to do. And debt is a bitch, honestly. Like, I wish somebody told me, or somebody was kind of like in my ear being like, you know what, don't spend money you don't have. It's not really a big concept, but like, when you turn 18 and you're able to get your own credit card, you know how many credit cards get sent to your door? and you don't really know anything about it. School doesn't teach all that stuff. So school teaches you the Pythagorean theorem and how to do math. I think that's what I picked up. Although, like, English, I got really good at poetry and being good with vocabulary and my words, but I don't know. School was just, like, a big social experiment.
School is honestly just, like, a big daycare.
Yeah.
Like, you just sit there for 8 hours, and then you get to go home and do your homework, and then you get to do it all over again.
Yeah, especially in my field now, it's more of a profession. There's not a lot of people that are out there who can do things that I do. Nobody's like trying to apply for these jobs, so pretty soon we're not going to have plumbers, we're not going to have welders, electricians, stuff like that, where there's like a trade school for that. You can skip all that nonsense, the mumbo jumbo, and go straight into a trade school and just be like crazy, making crazy money. Like the trash man, that dude makes 6 figures a year. Like, Ken, possibly. And that's crazy. I was just like, this dude's a garbage guy. He's taking out my trash. Like, he probably makes minimum wage. Psych, that's just society. Let's get into what projects we have going on. What kind of envision, or, like, what I envision for this company in the immediate future. I know Em's more focused on the saving. That's why she's kind of like my rock and kind of like guiding me into the direction that we should be going, because me and myself, I'm like, I got money, let's spend it. Money doesn't mean anything to me, but I have this battle where I'm trying to not let it control me, but unfortunately you have to be an adult at sometimes. And I myself, I just turned 22 in December, so I'll be 23 this year. And M here is a little cougar. Tell him how old you are.
23.
No, she's 23. But I'm kind of... She looks like she's 12. And what I just need to, like, come to the reality that, like, society is run by money. And I just want to get to that point where I don't have to worry about money. And I'm just doing what I love to do. And things come as is. But let's get more into the projects and what we got going on. My favorite strain of albino when it comes to leopard geckos is going to be the Bell albino strain. Second, I would have to say is Rainwater, and then the Tremperline. But Bell, it just, those browns pop. The lavenders when they're baby, especially when you cross them to like any snow, the Mac snow, Tug snow, they're all really cool. And so that's what we have. The majority of our collection is going to be Bell albino, but we do have some Nordizer Tremper lines going, and so we should pop out some Trempers this year. And we actually have an egg in the incubator. Yes, single egg. If you're not familiar with the Nordizer lines, the females, visual females, don't really lay all that well. They either become duds, she doesn't really ovulate, or they don't even lay. This one is 100% Nordizer, and she's also 50% het Tremper. So that's a possible het, and her full genetic makeup, she's a Mandarin Tangerine blood cross. I think she's a Bell, or no, sorry, not a Bell. Mandarin Tangerine, I could just look over at the rack. Uno momento. Mandarin Tangerine Enigma, and she's het for Nordizer. That's 100%. So we crossed her to a possible het Mandarin Tangerine. And he's possible, I think 50% Nordizer, and he's also 50% Tremper as well. So we're kind of betting on this egg. It's like a lottery pick, and I'm hoping it's going to hatch within a couple days or maybe even a week, and we'll keep you guys posted on the Facebook page. All of our links are going to be in the description of this podcast. We just gave away our first gecko, and also we gave away we're giving away feeders and a miniature leopard gecko toy that came in from overseas. So that's going to be cool. We're going to be doing another holdback giveaway, so it's a higher quality than our last giveaway, at 1,000 Facebook likes. That'll be really cool. I'm excited to like constantly give back to the community. I know we just started, but we do have a lot of eggs going, and we'll constantly give back. It helps us as well, because we don't have as much space as we'd like. Like, granted, we still have maybe about 30 tubs to fill, but that's just in case we get more egg production than what we were expecting. Everything's in precaution. I try to be really smart about like building all these things, and we have 3 more builds coming too, so it's just more space. But we love to give back. My thing is, I want to be accessible as possible. So our website will have updated availability coming up soon, and all of our prices are going to include shipping. Shipping in the lower 48 is like $45 to $85 now, even with some of the discounts, and that's pretty expensive, and not a lot of people are going to like paying that. Shipping is one of the biggest deterrents when it comes to selling something. Because you see a gecko, it's $250, and then you're like, wow, I can afford that. And then shipping comes out to like $65 on top of that. So you're looking at $310 already. But no, I don't want to do that, you know? So all of our geckos are going to include shipping. All of our animals, I'll try to include shipping. The only really expensive one is that priority overnight for all the reptiles and live animals usually that comes with it. We do ship like shrimp and aquatics. Aquatics usually get that priority overnight, but it's only around like $35. And the priority shipping for the shrimp is 1 to 3 days, and that's only like $15. So it's not that crazy. our website is live. It's still under a little bit of construction. I'm fine-tuning it. But it's live. It's www.bubbaslivingemporium.com, and check it out. It's really cool. I spent about a week building it. It's with Weebly. It's really great. I tried to make it mobile friendly, because who really has the time to go onto their laptop anymore and order something, you know? All right, let's get into what's your favorite part about doing what we do?
Getting to hold the animals.
You like that. I know you like when new stuff hatches out of the eggs too. I'll try to film it for you.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like seeing the little baby things.
Yeah, my favorite part, I would have to say, is pairing the animals together and knowing the possibilities of what's gonna come out. But at the same time, you have, especially when you're working with like quadruple gene animals, even triple genes with hets, and even like simple het to het pairings, you're gonna get a wide percentage of offspring that's gonna be variable to their parents. And that's always my favorite part, pairing those together, waiting those 15 to 25 days for them to lay their eggs. And as soon as I get those eggs, it's just like counting down the days until they hatch to see what I finally got. I know this year, our first hatch, it included, I think it was like, I hit a 33% marker, and I thought I was lucky then. However, the next day, it's a clutchmate hatched, and I hit a 3%. And that alone would have made my season for sure. We got a snow tangerine, white and yellow, bold stripe, enigma, and then it's hit 50% het eclipse. So I was stumped. I was like, this is great. This is going to be a great season already. Little did I know, 4 clutches later from that same pairing, we got another one. So 2-3% chances, we hit that. And that's great. Like, I'm already satisfied with this season, but we're working with solid strains of Enigma. I know Enigma was kind of frowned upon, and it's kind of making its incline back into Breeders' Collections. My solid lines came from Angela Mack, but she's now married. Congratulations, Angela and Tony. Now it's Angela and Tony Kinter. They bred Enigmas for a while, like years, and every time they would have any Enigma with ES or Enigma syndrome, even the smallest signs of this symptom show up, they would retire that breeder for life. When you get issues with Enigma syndrome that's stems and derives from inbreeding, which is basically breeding sibling to sibling, sibling to that mother or father, it's when genes are just really unstable, and you're making it more unstable by, like, basically sleeping with your cousin or your sister or your mother, something like that, father too. It's very sometimes you have to do it to kind of stabilize a line, to test it out. But outcrossing is the best thing you could possibly do with Enigma. I'm never going to pair Enigma with another Enigma. Enigma seems it's co-dominant, so you're going to get it regardless if you outcross. So there's no reason to take an Enigma to an Enigma. You're just going to start getting those signs of Enigma syndrome again. Enigma syndrome actually is a neurological defect, and it causes them to just, it seems to stem from stress, and when they get stressed out a little bit, they'll either go in circles, do death rolls, flop on their backs, and it's really sad that people inbred it so much to where it was at that point. However, it's like the ball python spider gene. There's various grades to it, and for the most part, it's not really going to affect their way of life. My Enigmas are actually one of the smarter ones in my clutches now. They tame down faster, meaning, like, we're not going to hold our hatchlings. We don't have the time for that, and throughout, like, maybe our regular routine, we have to pick them up, putting them in new tubs. They don't seem to mind. They don't stress out. They don't circle. They don't roll at all. But they do take to tongue feeding really easily. And now all of our hatchlings that hatched out Enigma are bull trained. And our newest one is only maybe a week old, already eating out of a bowl, just the regular mealworms. So it's not as bad, not nearly as bad as what it was. So revisiting the Enigma gene is something that we're trying to do as a side project, and crossing it to more stable lines and focusing on line bred traits is what I'm trying to do. And I mean, you can see it. My work speaks already. I tried to go with the highest quality of breeders that I could find. Angela Mack, Bold and Bright Geckos. I tried to get in a couple from Fire and Ice, and then I also worked with Art Geckos and getting a few from him. It's just, you pay for what you get. It's quality over quantity. And by doing this, yeah, it may have taken me a few more years to get up to production to where I wanted to be. However, now I'm producing real quality animals with solid genes, solid genetic history, and they're growing really great. We've had 3-month geckos that are already bigger than a lot of the posts in these gecko groups that we're seeing that their animals only like 6 months, and ours, our 3-month animal, is bigger than their 6-month animal. It's really crazy. I have some stuff from Steve Sykes, so when I breed those animals together, they're already much larger than regular geckos. And I think you'll just catch that. They're not super giant or giant at all, But when you breed lion-bred animals that are bred for size, color, pattern, all these things, people don't realize that what lion breeding does. That's what we're trying to focus on, get more like well-known for, and we're just really excited to, I don't know, expand our parameters now that we're working with a few more species, and we're just putting it out on the market, trying to, I don't know, we want to be able to do this without having to worry about, I guess, working like a slave job. I don't want to have to be like, oh, I gotta go to work in the morning. We woke up today and first thing we did was check on the tubs for eggs. No eggs today. We got some yesterday. We wet all the moist hides, spot cleaned a little bit, make sure everybody had food. I took a couple pictures for a couple customers. And after that, Em over here, what'd you make for breakfast?
I made blueberry pancakes, some eggs with cheese, some toast, and I made breakfast for everyone in the house.
Yeah, which is awesome. Em's really taking care of me, and that speaks volumes, because how long were we together before I had my little accident?
Like a month.
Yeah, a month.
Even.
Yeah, if even a month went by and I was actually on the job and a lot of stuff happened. Maybe we'll do like a separate episode for this, but
yeah.
I'm 22 years old with a pacemaker and a room full of exotic animals. So that's what we're up to. I know I want to get Angela Kinter and Tony Kinter on for an interview in one of these upcoming podcasts. I have a Canadian breeder, Toronto geckos, that I would like to have on here. I go back and forth with art geckos, and I've been talking to Phantom Dragons, breeder, I would say arguably one of the world's best breeders of bearded dragons. And we don't want to have set guidelines for this podcast. I want to talk to people all over the world with various backgrounds. I think you'll find a common theme is entrepreneurs. I want to talk to people who have the balls, or metaphoric balls, and prowess to seek out what they want to do, and they don't stop until they attain that goal. And that's doing what we do for a living. We're gonna get there. It's just a matter of hard work, blood, sweat, and tears, and time. I want to thank you guys for listening this far. We're gonna get into a couple Q&A's now. So we'll kind of do Q&A's every podcast towards the end of the podcast. These Q&A's, I'll make a post on my Instagram and my Facebook for you guys to ask questions that we can answer for you here on the podcast. It's easier, it's much easier than typing all this information out. And yeah, let's get into the Q&A. Do you have anything else you would like to say to the people?
No, I'm good.
Wow. Here we go. Q&A. Q&A, Q&A. It's super Q&A. From Facebook and Instagram. First one comes from Frank on Facebook. When do geckos stop growing? Geckos don't really stop growing. They reach a certain length and then they start getting girthy. And this is around, I would say, about a year mark. And that's when they start just putting on weight instead of like overall size. But a gecko always fluctuates, especially when it goes from being winter to summer. They kind of slow down in winter. Especially if you drop your temperatures and you want to throw them into hibernation, they stop eating for about 2 weeks or so. I know some people try to bermate them for around like 4 to 6 weeks, and that's totally fine. Geckos can go a long time if properly hydrated and with proper husbandry. They can go a long time without eating. And this is sometimes a good thing to do with breeding females. Gives them a bigger break, and they ovulate sometimes a little better, prefer depending on like the breeder. It's like a case-by-case scenario. So to answer your question, they don't really have a set size, and they don't really stick with that weight. They'll always fluctuate. I think males have a more consistent weight. They always fluctuate around like 10 grams when they get their max quote-unquote size. So hopefully that answers that question. Another question we got in was from Facebook also, and this was, where can we find your availability? Availability, I'll just post that either on my Instagram page at Bubba's_Emporium, or on here on Facebook. I'll have like a file, but mainly you just want to check that website. Our website is www.bubbaslivingemporium.com, and that's where you can find a lot of our stuff. I have one more question from USA Freshwater and Plants Group, and this was asking when I'm going to get back into like shrimping. I used to breed high-end shrimp here, freshwater shrimp, in the U.S., and I did it for maybe like 6 months, and I was going ham in it, but I kind of slowed down. I'm just waiting on the new facility, and then I'll start getting racks set up with 10-gallon tanks and start breeding again and blowing up that market like I did before. So thank you for that question. I didn't really give a lot of time for people to ask questions, but we'll be more prepared on the next one. I think they only had like an hour to get their questions in, so we only had a couple. Currently, I'm talking to Toronto Geckos via Instagram, and he's telling me that Canada doesn't really have bulk feeders, so he's spending around $60 a week on feeders like dubias, silkworms, hornworms, things that you should be feeding your leopard geckos. You always want to feed a variety. It's always best for them. When I go and I feed dubias, silkworms, hornworms, more of a staple on dubias, mealworms, and supers. But they have all kinds of worms that they can eat too. I know there's wax worms. We have black soldier fly larvae. And what I supplement with is mineral, and then I have vitamins, and then I also have calcium with and without D3. D3, since they're nocturnal, allows them to process calcium, and that's very important. You don't want to get without D3, and you don't want to constantly supply D3, so you have to have that mixture. Yeah, we can get more into this on another podcast, but I just wanted to fill you in on some of the struggles that certain people who aren't in America have to deal with. I know we have great bulk supply of feeders, such as like even people like breed roaches in their backyards. Canada's a bit colder, so they have to set up more of like a consistent temperature like bins. It's a little harder, but I guess they don't really have like wholesale feeder supplies up there, so it could get pretty costly. $60 a week is pretty insane, considering I have like, I'm not exactly sure his count on his colonies, but I'm pretty sure I have more animals, and I only spend maybe $30 every 1.5 months, so that's pretty wild. I don't really breed on my own. I just have a connection with rainbow mealworms. They're only about 20 minutes away from me also, so that really helps and cuts down on shipping costs. But yeah, guys, thank you guys for tuning in. This was an amazing podcast, I think, introduction to the podcast. And pretty soon I want to have my first interview on the next podcast. I'll be talking to a couple people, see what I can line up. I know Toronto Geckos from Canada is a little bit busy. I'll talk to Angela and Tony again, see what they think of this podcast, and see if I'm worthy, if they could bless us with joining our podcast for an interview. Thank you guys. Em had to go run and deal with her crab situation, but yeah, we'll see you guys in the next podcast. Thank you guys so much, and it's always a pleasure to answer any questions that you guys might have. So I'll make a post where you guys can always send your questions, and we'll answer some of them on the next podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is Bubba's World Emporium. See you later. The world is at our fingertips, and the time is now. Thank you guys for listening and following through the whole podcast. As always, our podcast will be available on iTunes, Spotify, and all major platforms. Thank you once again. Have a great night.